much. To recharge and rejuvenate our commitment to doing the work as a portfolio committee. I'm sure members are aware that in the previous term, we were supposed to deal with the APP for SAFE after having dealt with the same for the two entities, ELRC, UMALISI, and the Department of Basic Education. So we have to complete that task in order for us to be able to ensure that necessary oversight and monitoring of the work and the implementation of the programs that we have adopted previously does happen. Today, we are going to get a presentation from SAFE. And I see the delegation from the council. Immediately after that presentation, I will allow members to engage with the items, hoping that all the members did get time to interact with the document that was sent to all of you via electronic email and also the physical copies. After that presentation has been concluded, we will then go forward to adopt the minutes of the previous meetings, because we never got a chance to do that. Of which I also believe that members did get the both electronic and physical copies. We will also adopt the reports on our work as a portfolio committee. The last point that I think will be critical is for to raise your attention the fact that as a portfolio committee we have the program of action which will outline our activities, which will ensure that all of us are able to thoroughly prepare for our work in advance. We will be able to schedule work on the basis of that program of action. On that note, members, I would like to call the delegation from SAFE to start with a presentation almost immediately. Thank you very much. Over to you, SAFE.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, we are indeed happy to be here to the Portfolio Committee to give a presentation from the side of SAFE regarding our annual performance plan for 2015-16. Before I do that, just let me introduce the delegation to you. My name is Resh Richraj, and I am the CEO of SAFE. On my right-hand side, I have Ms. Galen Bowles. She is a council member and executive member of SAFE, so she represents the council, while the rest of the staff, while three of us are part of the staff, myself also being a council. On my left is Mr. Mapindani Morris, the CFO of SAFE, Mr. Dipolo, C.D. Dipolo, he is the Chief Operating Officer. We are also very fortunate to be joined by colleagues from the department. I see Mr. Timba Kojana here, and we also have Mr. Enoch Rabotabi. Mr. Rabotabi not only is from the department, he is also a SAFE counselor. Chair, what we will do is I shall make some introductory remarks in terms of this report, after which I will call upon team members to make the different presentations in the different parts, and then the whole team will respond to questions. It looks like our presentation should not take more than 1 hour. If that is suitable to the chair. So with those few words, let me then go through the first part of the report, which is on page 3, Siri. Now, I think members are aware, honourable members are aware, that the one before that, Siri. Oops. Yeah, that's the one. Sorry about that. Members are aware that the council's job is to be a guardian of the teaching profession in three ways, and that is to watch over the professional registration of teachers. Teachers have to abide by minimum criteria, and then to watch over their professional development, where we manage the professional development system for teachers, and thirdly, to implement the code of ethics. So in a nutshell, those are the three dimensions of our work. Sometimes you would find that the media and other agencies put a lot more demands or says way beyond its mandates. And during the course of this presentation, we shall try to sort of demarcate what is SACE's legal business as compared to what other agencies and institutions would do. Now, in terms of registration, we have agreed now that it will take us 7 working days to complete all applications for registration once they land in the office. There have been complaints that registration is taking too long. Sometimes, of course, we still have delays because of verification procedures. Now, we are taking very, very seriously the question of verification. We are now also embarking on electronic registration this year. We are categorizing our register and having different types of certificates. But I must emphasize right up front the question that Honorable Boshoff raises of vetting. And we have agreed not only to meet with the Honorable Member at her convenience, but also to take more vigorously the question of vetting. So far, what we do is we check with the Child Protection Register immediately. Now, it has also been agreed that from this year onwards, we will take police clearance of prospective teachers so that we are sure that they don't have any criminal record. So we're going beyond the Child Protection Register. We will also be trying to access the Sexual Offences Register. There are some difficulties that we are encountering there, but I'm sure with the assistance of the departments we would be able to access that. So vetting now becomes a way of life, with SACE. But it is still an assignment that we are busy trying to attack about verifying the qualifications of all the teachers that are in the profession. Because now and then you get a complaint about a teacher teaching with fraudulent qualifications. Sometimes even teachers teach with fraudulent certificates. So we are appealing to all of the departments and the stakeholders to be vigilant and check with SACE the validity of the registration, and also to check the expiry of the registration, because sometimes you find that registration certificates have been withdrawn. So I just thought I'd emphasize that council had a strategic planning workshop about a month and a half ago, where it looks at all of its areas of operation and gave us mandates now that tighten up our areas of operation. And this area is one area the council also agrees we need to take far more vigorously than we have. The second aspect that we are busy with, and you will get a longer report now, is on the professional development of educators. And here, our basic job is to quality assure programs and activities that teachers will be offered for their professional growth. We allocate points to them, and we approve the providers to see that the providers are bona fide providers and they meet basic criteria. That completely senseless job. It's like a license in a policy, issuing points. Now, there are lots of demands being placed on space in terms of what is it doing in terms of needs verification, what is it doing in terms of popularizing professional development. And unfortunately, our resource base and our infrastructure hampered us to some extent to go beyond our specific mandate. What we do thoroughly is to make sure that all submissions are endorsed or sent back for improvement. And of course, we encourage our teachers to sign in. A lot of our effort goes in to ensuring that teachers sign in. And later I will give you some stats about how that is going. In terms of ethical standards, I think SAFE has now come to a good position where it deals with ethical cases in a three-month cycle. Why three-month cycle? Because council has the last say on the cases. It's only council's decision that is final. We now have got more panelists, and the council has taken an approach that they want to increase the body of panelists that serve as investigators and that serve as panelists in hearings. It has now taken on an assignment that it wants to establish stronger criteria for persons who will serve as panelists. So we now have, hopefully, very few cases that would be dragging on. Unfortunately, you will always have cases that we will have to keep on our books because you find that many complainants withdraw for a while. So we keep them in our records, hopefully waiting for the complainants to come back to us. In some cases, you find cases drag on because of legal technicalities. Then we back up our three mandates with a lot of research, and later you will get the details of the what we are researching and what we intend researching for the coming year. The big things for the research agenda this year is professional standards. We are working with the Department of Education and other agencies to set professional standards. Already there has been agreement on professional standards for school principals, and during the course of this year we will have to finalize other standards for other levels of educators. And also we are busy this year with professional designations. In other words, we want, so far it's just a draft proposal, to register teachers provisionally, ensure that teachers go through a period of induction, and then they would get the proper registration certificate, which will give us a little more time to check on the validity of their applications, their certificates, their professional records, so that we have a different designation to the one that we have now. Presently, if you apply for registration with SAFE, within 7 days, SAFE will give you a registration certificate. But in terms of the discussions that are going on, and once all the stakeholders agree, we will have a sort of stepped way in which teachers will proceed in the profession. And that will, of course, involve mentorship and training of mentors. So it is an exciting prospect for this year's work in terms of research. Then we have an admin and infrastructure now that the CFO will give you a detail of, where we have almost 100 staff members now, and we are on the verge of actually buying our own building, which we will talk about. And the good news here is that we have also now established offices in Bloemfontein and in Durban. Because there has been a UN cry that SAFE is not visible, and it looks like early next year we will have another 3 offices in 3 other provinces, and by the following year we should have established offices in all of the 8 provinces. I say 8 because we have the office in Pretoria, and in that province we may not want to put another office as well, so the head office would serve. So, Chair, that in a nutshell is where we are going. And And I must declare to honorable members that CIS is going along pretty well. We are hoping to increase our revenue base because of our emphasis now on more rigor regarding verification and validation of qualifications, vetting, regarding the needs for these other officers. So we are hoping now that CIS is poised to actually reach all our educators, wherever they may be. And the council has been very supportive of these goals. And I must at the outset also say that we have had good cooperation with the Department of Basic Education, Department of Higher Education, and the provincial departments. Very good cooperation also from the unions and other stakeholders that make up council. So I'll stop there and hand over to the CFO, who will give us a little view of admin, finance, and staffing issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I would refer you to the page 9, which has the LTF projection. Chair, for the current financial year, we have a budget of 55,440,000, of which the main source of funding is our membership or subscription fee, of which the monthly amount is 10 rand, since it was increased in 2010, July. It has never been increased up to now. This is the fifth year. But it serves the council very well because we use that money to run administration and to reserve for our own building. We also receive funds from the Department of Basic Education to subsidize the administration of continuous professional development. So far for the current year, we haven't received a commitment from the department, but however, we know that they give us the money for the course of the year. They are just busy with their own administration. Hence, you'll find that we have got a zero revenue to be received because we cannot budget on unguaranteed funds. They may give us less than what we requested or give us more than we have requested. So we cannot budget on that because once you budget, you have to start spending the money. So we may spend the money which we may not receive. So as soon as we receive guarantee of how much will come this year or they give us the money, we'll be able to adjust our budget accordingly and obtain the necessary approval from the accounting authority. Our registration fees remain at 400 for foreigners and 200 for South Africans, and 50 rand for renewals. We do have quite a good number of renewals because of a good number of foreigners who come and renew on a continuous basis because we don't give them a full registration. We give them provisional, which expires after a year, so they have to come and renew. So the beginning of the year in the office gets overcrowded because they come to renew. When you look at the decline, when you look on the MPF on terms of the projections of the registration fees, it's because we believe we are finishing with our unregistered practicing educators. So therefore, our projection is based on students who are qualifying from our universities, which our projected number is around 3,000. So therefore, we cannot project a high figure on registration figure, or registration fees for over the MTF. That's why it shows reduction. You'll also notice a reduction of interest income in line with the reduced bank balance due to the purchase of the old building because we're making good interest on the money which was kept in our bank account, because we bought the building already, the projection on interest income has dropped down. So going to how we're going to spend the money, the first point which I'll mention is that we have already concluded the purchase of the building after the proper procurement process. Now what the deed process now is the registration which can be concluded any time because the deed of sale has already been signed. Again, the funds which we are directing towards the building now is directed towards the establishment of provincial offices, of which two of them will start operating in June, in Bloemfontein and Durban. So in terms of the CBTP funding, if you see professional development having a small amount, there is still a discussion whereby the council has proposed to me to the ministry after difficulties which was encountered in 2014-15, where the money somewhere towards the end of financial year could not come, and it came very late, whereby we will have to use the money to start the financial year. A portion, 50% of the money, came late in March, whereby the financial year was missed, so that money will be used to start the financial year 2015-16 while they are waiting on giving us the money for 2015-16. I think that in short, our financial projections for the MTF. Thanks.
Thank you, CFO. I'll call the COO, Mr. Polo, now to give us a little review of the two sections here. One is the registration and then the ethics, after which I shall take over the professional development plans.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. We're going to be talking on page 14 on the registration performance indicators that we're looking at. For the year that we just finished, end of March, we were looking at targeting at about 26,000 new educators with 25,000 educators coming in for registration. 2015 was one of the years where the first BA cohort, the first in 2012, were completing their BS. So we had quite a high number of students coming in to move from being provisional to normal certificate, to the extent that when we finish our consolidation by the end of this month, we should have gone past the 25,000 mark that we're looking at. Currently, we're sitting at 28,000 for provisional that we've done for 2014-15. And then for the 26,000, which was for 2014-15 we were looking at, we're currently sitting at about 18,000. We think that number will also go up because we have seen quite a number of educators come in the past 3 months since the schools opened due to the promotional post bulletin that has come out in many provinces. Those educators that were in the system but apparently not registered are now flocking into the office to ensure that they can register. So for 2015-16, which is the year we're in, we are predicting a lesser number of educators who are to come in and register for the first time that are in on the system. We have increased the number to 30,000 for those that will be coming in because we know that there are those that are still studying. And unfortunately, we still have a large number of those educators in independent schools that have academic qualification and attrition with academic qualification. We have given them a process of 5 years to teach whilst they are being given the opportunity to study something towards a professional qualification. So that's the number then we're looking at. Going to ethics. Which is on page 28 and 29. For the year 2014-15, we look at training educators for 10,000, and we're looking at receiving cases plus minus 100 cases, or 150 cases we're looking at. Committee members will remember when we were here the last time, we had quite a low turnout on our cases for the year 2013-14 due to the budget cut that we had to ensure that we purchase our own building. 2014-15, we made up for that. Our budget was increased and we were able to do much more cases. For the 2014-15 financial year, we currently have received about 736 cases. That's the raw number that we're busy consolidating, and then we'll be looking at how much we have then dealt with those cases. We have, I must say, with the pen that we had pushed quite a lot, so we have quite a, it will be very minimal number that we'll be taking through to the 2015-16 financial year. One of the things that we have not done to the best of our ability was to apply indicators about the code for the professional ethics, because we were under pressure of making sure that we finalize the 13-14 cases that we took over into 2014-15. We are then in 15-16 hoping to focus on that. We have a target of 15,000 to ensure that we speak to educators, appraise them on the offer of code of conduct and the issue that will happen when there's, because despite that we still find there's still a huge number of corporal punishment, sexual relation cases happening out there, and we feel that educators need to be talked to and see and discuss all those things. We're hoping to receive plus minus one of cases, because the more we go out and we do our advocacy around the professional code of ethics, the more people are aware of how to report and when to report the particular cases. So that's what then we'll be doing for the 2015-16 financial year. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to emphasize to honorable members that we have added for this year percentages as well, because sometimes it's very difficult to predict how many teachers you would be actually registering, and also difficult to predict how many cases you would be getting, because they do fluctuate year after year. And sometimes SAFE is criticized for not meeting targets because we don't get so many registrations, or sometimes we get much more than what we predicted. So we are putting some percentages to make sure that we are at least dealing with 80% of the registrations in time. We're dealing with at least 8% of the cases in time, so that we watch ourselves and not just be trapped with the numbers. Having said that, Chair, let me just proceed then to the last part of our presentation, which is the professional development of educators on your slide. And it's 4.2.1, the spelling of continuous correction there, I missed that. This is our kind of main business in this case, to try to make sure that our teachers are growing professionally. It's on page 16 in your packs. And we have now almost completed the signing in of our teachers at managerial level upwards. This year, we are going to orient the third cohort, which is secondary school teachers and teachers that are coming out of colleges, and they would be officially participating in professional development activities from the beginning of next year. So their cycle starts at the beginning of next year. The HOD cycle started this year, and I think members are aware that in 3 years, all educators must get 150 professional development points. The headmasters have already started, and at the end of next year, they should also be having 150 professional development points. That is the essence of what goes on in terms of professional development. The question is always asked, what happens when teachers don't get the points? Now, their SAFE will have to do analysis and review and find out why teachers have not been able to get their professional development points, and then decide on appropriate action. So we have registered already about 700 programs, and about 300 providers have submitted their programs and activities for professional development. On the next page, you will look at our targets for the coming years. And here again you will see that we are also putting in percentages, because it's hard to predict how many submissions states will be getting for quality assuring the programs and activities. And again, council has agreed that 80% of all submissions must be dealt with. Fortunately, this section is working very well, thanks to the big subsidy that the department gives us. Last year, I think subsidy came more or close to 10 million rands, and we're expecting the department to continue giving us that subsidy. Of course, as Morris mentioned, there is a matter that we need to resolve with the department, and we are going to set up a meeting with the department and the ministry if necessary to see if there could be a better model of funding that is coming through from the department side so that it is more predictable. At the moment, sometimes we have to wait because the department has its own administrative difficulties in facilitating transfer of those amounts to us. So we are hoping that in the next few months that matter will be resolved. But thanks to that funding, we are able to manage the CPTV system, and it is now set up and ready to allocate points and ready to quality assure. Teachers can access the system, declare the points that they have accumulated to us, and also get an update as to where they are in terms of accumulating points. So the CPTV management system is going very well. We have got over 50 evaluators, professionals, high-caliber professionals, who come in from time to time and actually do the quality assurance, the evaluators. Then, of course, we have what is called an endorsement committee. The endorsement committee is the committee that, on behalf of council, double-checks to see that these programs are indeed of the quality that teachers deserve. So in terms of CPTD, I must declare to members that there is no difficulty, no problem so far. But one point I must make here is that SAFE is not a provider of professional development programs. And SAFE is not one to determine the professional development needs of teachers. It doesn't have the infrastructure and the revenue base to do that. And we are hoping that the departments will assist us in identifying the needs of the teachers. Secondly, the departments, the 9 provincial departments of education, are the biggest providers for professional development. Let's make no mistake about that. And they are the ones that should be sending programs to us. I must declare that while SAFE, in my view, is doing its work quite okay, the number of programs that are coming to be quality assured are too few. 700 programs in our 4 years of this business is too little. We should have 7,000 by now. So that is a matter that requires serious attention from all of us collectively, as to why programs from departments are not coming through to SAFE. And we are engaging now with the departments to make that a problem that has become something of the past, where it is automatic that departments will send these things to us. So that is a declaration that I have to make to the Portfolio Committee, and to enlist your assistance in persuading departments to send us programs for endorsement, because the departments have the resources. In my rough calculation, there is about 1 billion rands that is set aside for teacher development. And in my estimation, we have not really managed that utilization of those funds very well, because they go to the department. And the departments have a flexibility within the law and the constitution in terms of how they use that money. Our plea from the side of SAFE is that the department should maximize the money that is used for teacher development, because teacher development will mean development of our learners,
and that will mean development of our nation and development of our democracy. So it is very critical, as the president of our country repeatedly reminds us. Then, Chair, lastly, we find here some indication in terms of what we are going to do for research. And here we have picked up a dilemma. Because SAIS does its research based on what its council mandates to do. Now, in the ABP here, you will find that areas of research have been identified by council so that council can do its own work on its own research. But there have been pressure put on SAIS from the side of the ministry that SAIS should look at other areas of research to inform the teaching profession. Now, we have generously accepted that request. So, from this year onwards, the council has now agreed to have a base of researchers, a pool of researchers, because we will not be able to afford full-time researchers in our offices. So we have now agreed to have a pool of researchers so that we are able to do research that is not only going to inform what SAIS needs, but also to inform the general needs of education in the country as far as we can go. So, Chair, our presentation is at that point now, and we will take comments and questions from honourable members and try to respond to them. But before I do so, I just want to check if there are any additional comments from the side of SAIS or the department. Ms. Bowles, is there anything you'd like to add? No? Mr. Kojana? At this stage? Anything you would like to add to the report from the side of SAIS?
I might be responding. No, I just want to move on. I want to add.
Dino? Your side, Morris? Yes?
No, thank you. Just wanted to include one comment on our predictions. You'll see in 2017-18, there is an increase of 50% in terms of our total revenue. Yes, there is a planned increase of 50% to continue with the setting up of provincial offices to the other remaining province, as well as to cut the inflation, which the council would have experienced since 2010 on operation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We are done from presentation, sir.
Member, I'm sure you have listened attentively to the presentation, and I would like to open the floor to allow members to engage with the report. Can I have an indication from the members? I would like to take Honorable Bonchani, Honorable Khosa, Honorable Bosho, Honorable Mbuni, Honorable Bosho, Honorable Bosho. I received a note that you were acknowledging. It was written in Honorable Mashabe. Do you want to engage with them before you leave? Okay. Can you go according to the order that I have noticed?
Thank you, Chairperson, and the department and SAIS for the presentation. The presentation has indeed thrown up some very interesting points. In fact, before I go to that, let me just make an observation. on your forward. The new title say the High Honorable. Was it a mistake? The High Honorable, is it a new title for the first? Okay. And also, just a general statement. You know, I'll accept, and I do accept, that government as government, and the president in his State of the Nation address has, in fact, emphasized and prioritized the address. I accept that. But I don't accept coming from face to make a political statement and say and emphasize through via the ruling party of the African National Congress. Because I, as ISP, has also emphasized and seen and accepted the message by the president and government that education is priority number one. I think that for face to make a political statement is so it will be unfair. That's what I wanted to, the statement I wanted first to make. And also another comment, in fact it's linked to my question that I want to pose. You say you want to develop professional standards, to develop professional standards for teachers. You know, for many professions, I think of doctors and other professions, to say you develop professional standards for the people who are working in the field, not unless you say you want to revise or reinforce, or because it tells me that at the source something is lacking, where teachers are initially trained, that they didn't go through any professional standard at all. They will only be developed when they are in the field. I may be understanding this wrongly, I admit, but it has got that connotation. Now, the 20 questions are made limited, sir. But I just made comments, that's my third question.
No, we don't want preamble.
Thank you very much, sir.
We have to adopt a report limit of the preamble. So I would urge members to, you can reach many points, but you must speak to me.
Sure, I'll do that, sir. Thank you very much. Now, they're saying foreigners to pay 400 rand when they register. Is it possible to tell us how many have registered for this current academic year? The foreigners have paid their 400 rand. Now, the last one, I'm a little bit confused here. You say first somewhere that you assess a national custodian of digital professionalism. I accept that. And you are also saying currently you have not received any written commitment for funding by the department. But what is so concerned? I'm saying you're not the provider for professional development as such. Since I have some problems there, challenges of understanding what you actually mean when you say we are not providers of professional development for teachers, yet you are waiting for the commitment for funding, and also you want the department, or you want us as committee to assist you where the department gives you program for endorsement. Can you explain this further to me? Lastly, this professional bureau for principals and deputy principals, which is called number one, how do you link this with the delayed performance evaluation for principals and deputy principals, which for 4 years has been in the LRA, the Labor Relations Council?
I think you must remember when we opened the meeting, we said we are going to engage with the trust, like the APT and the budget. We have to check whether they have highlighted all the points and whether they have set the correct targets, whether what is expected of is represented in the presentation they have just given. It's not a session for us to quiz things about the performance. We have to make sure that they are able to put the right items on their track plan. And then later on, during the course of the year, we will get a session where we are engaging them on progress on their work. So for now, we have to check whether their planning is realistic and reflects what is required. Is there an alignment with the objectives that are there? And then whether the funds they have are able to ensure that they are able to implement their plan. So basically, those are the things we have to check. Let's not ask questions that relate to how they are performing and all that. Thank you.
I don't understand you, but I don't understand what you are trying to convey to me. But it's okay. Okay, I'll accept your ruling, but I don't understand it. But it's okay. Last lecture, the awarding of points to teachers is 150 for performance. Am I still within the scope, Chairperson? The awarding of points to teachers is 150. One would like to know, this awarding of points, is it, will it be linked or is it linked to, if I remember correctly, to OSE? Am I asking for the data? Because one lecture comes from a long Easter holiday, because it's right.
That you are finished and then
we'll go let me, for interest of time, let me hold my horse.
Honorable
that when you're physical development. What is your relationship? Are you not able to talk to one another to be able to deal with that? You were talking of issue of getting funding so that you will say there are programs and to lead it. Your expectation that if you have that working relationship, I'm expecting that maybe you will be able to be dealing with such things. Then one other issue is, I think I want to refer this to page 17. So page 17, on the objective, yes. I need clarity because you see 2011, 2013, 2013, 2014, it drops one thing. Can you clarify me or that? I don't understand what it means by that. And lastly, it's on what informs the drop of the 2.8 million in the projected revenue from the distribution for 2015. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, everybody. It's pleasing to hear from the CEO that they are going to do something about the vetting and the sexual cases against our learners. But what is very, very disturbing is the fact that you say you are going to do it, even though you are the guardians of professional registration of education and that you adhere to certain criteria. What I would like to know is how are you going to implement the plan to ensure that educators with invalid registration certificates do not get reemployed? What measures are in place to ensure educators reported and dealt with in the province and also reported to SACE, because we have different figures coming out of the provinces in SACE? Where is the determination that sexual offenders should face criminal consequences? And it's very difficult to know how, but where is the commitment that the names of offenders are accessible by anyone who is employed as an educator? You said it's very difficult yourself, so please explain to us how you're going to do it. And then the fact that the figures are still so high of outstanding cases, when we were up there, CEO, myself and my spokesperson, we got the promise that these cases would be attended to very quickly because you had appointed extra staff. So why are we still struggling with that? And then, if I may, let's go to page 11. I hope we don't see a repeat of provincial officers being the reason why there's no money to look at anything else, because we've heard about the building has kept you in abeyance of doing anything, so these provincial officers, they must be funded from something completely different. And then on page 16, you're speaking of the cohorts, and you are going to analyze as to why certain educators did not get these points. What measures are in place to have a look at it? And what about those that do not even sign up for these cohorts? What are we going to do about that? And then page 18, the number of professional development providers. What criteria do you have in place so that we do have the correct service providers? And thank you, Madam Chair. That's it.
Honourable
Mudi,
thank you
very much, Chairman. Morning, ladies and gentlemen, honourable members. My first question is on 1.1. So the update, situational analysis, strategic overview, where there's an issue of councillors not really related to the work of the council. What might be the reasons of them not being remunerated? and how do you find each other with the Department of Education? Second one is the issue of, I know that the analysis and certification checking of certification is the work of SACA, the correct SACA. But I hope, as it says, you have also a responsibility. What plans do you have, because I don't see it in your strategic objective, what plans do you have as is in your strategic objective to check whether what SACA has given you is proper? Then the other issue is the issue of the number of teachers. You'll remember that when we spoke last year, you indicated to us that you don't know how many teachers are there. You did not know how many teachers are there. You remember this B2R when you reported to us. So what plans do you have to make sure that you give us the exact number of how many teachers do you, because it's not in your strategic plan. And then, and the issue, the plan of the D-register. And as you remember, teachers, you said that you're going to give us a role. I don't see it on your plan, on your annual plan. How many teachers are D-registered in terms of this disciplinary measure that you've taken, and they are D-registered in your system? I think that is for me now. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
this decline? I would like to get an explanation, or the committee would like to get, why it became from 26,000 to 20,000. Why do you, is it an explanation, or is this what do you see? What have you seen that they will be declined, whereas we need teachers like this and so on? And we would like also to know the progress that has been made by all the provinces on, in terms of your guidance or legislation as to how the provinces report to you on disciplinary cases that they get. Do you have the stats on them? Do you know the backlog on the cases? I see the same number, this number that has been mentioned by Honorable Bosso, that is a huge number. We spoke about that. What progress have you made to do this, to fight this decline? What I would like also to add upon is just really face your planning to talk to the Department of Education, Basic Education, as planning. We should understand that what you have planned or you have budgeted in your budget is being rolled out and is talking to what the basic education has been said. And this vetting or evaluation of educators and the vetting, it doesn't come out in the APP. How are you going to do this? Because really we still have huge cases of teachers who have been under disciplinary actions from this province and move to another province and directing there. So, Department, you are on Department of Education, being an MPP of Department of Education, we should talk to each other, we should come with a clear thing. How are you going to do this setting? Because, really, it is true, CBO, our children are exposed to criminals. And in those days of ours, there was a clause in the form that you had to say, were you ever involved in a criminal case? What type of case? Where was it? Do we still do this? How do we follow up? Because the crime in my province, one we had a problem of a teacher who was a drug dealer and studied and carried on in the school premises. And now after this vetting, I feel it should come out clearly, that this evaluation should come out clearly. What are we going to do and how we can this spread plan within these 5 years that we have planned?
And I am sorry to be late. My plane was actually cancelled this morning, and then the late flight was late. So it's not been a good morning. So I really am sorry that I missed the presentation. I did have been through the SHAPAN and the APP in detail. Chair, I have a few questions. Let me start with the foreigners, because that comes up every single time. I don't like the attitude that appears to prevail about foreigners. I see, for instance, the Minister of Higher Education and Training put out a gazetted list entitled the Top 100 Critical Skills in our country, and in that Top 100 Critical Skills are foundation trades, teachers and math teachers. We should not, in fact, making it more difficult for foreigners to come to our country. We should actually acknowledge that we don't have us in South Africa. We need the foreigners, at least in the short to medium term. Why are foreigners charged more? I presume it's up to the foreigner to get the SACRA accreditation and not up to SAFE to do that. Why are foreigners actually charged double when South African teachers are charged to register in that light? Foreigners we need. Foreigners that we need. So I might well have missed, obviously, during the presentation, I might well have missed quotes. So I'm fully cognizant that I might be repeating things that have already been said. On page 22, there is mention of slide 22, recognition of SAFE as a professional council. Is it my understanding that SAFE will, like many other professional councils in South Africa, that SAFE will actually have the say over the standard going forward, the standard of initial teacher education that's given in our universities? If so, to what level? Can you clarify that, please? So I want to note just, let me ask another question first. With respect to underqualified teachers who have provisional registration or temporary registration, I'm assuming, and please put me right if I'm wrong, I'm assuming that it would have been a time limit on that. I see no mention at all in the SACRA and all the APP about provisional registrations, about following up on provisional registrations and making sure that those people to whom they were granted indeed get the qualifications. I've never seen a reference to that at all. And I imagine that it should. I know we've got many thousands of underqualified teachers in our country. So I should imagine that should form an important part of your work. So I'd like to understand that. Chair, just two technical points. Perhaps the strategic plan refers to 2014-2015. It does not refer to 5 years. And it actually needs to go back and get redone. It needs to be rejected. It is a one-year plan. It is not a five-year strategic plan. Secondly, another technical point, maybe, but it actually says a whole lot, is that the APP starts with the words, the President, the High Honourable, I've never heard him call it, Joe Zuma, has emphasized both by the ruling part of the African National Congress and the presidency of the South African government that the country's priority number one is education. I think every one of us in this room should be cognizant of the separation between party and state. SAFE does not serve the ANC. It should not be working according to ANC policy, certainly not in an official document like their annual performance plan. Thank you, Chair.
Members, I would like to give SAFE an opportunity to respond to some of the issues, but I think there are issues that seem to be very critical that members have raised, of which they cast doubt on the presentation. And one, that there is misalignment of the program to your work, and then the budget issue, the lack of working relationship with the Department of Basic Education, and even the point that was raised in regards to your core area of performance on CTPG, which you say is not really a good case. So I would like you to, above all, respond to those critical issues, because you know, I think members really deserve the explanation as to why do we have that situation prevailing, particularly that you have people from the department who are living in the state board. So I would suppose that the views of the department should be reflected upon and implemented in the most appropriate way. Over to you.
Thank
Thank you, Chair, and to the honourable members. We'll do this in two ways. Firstly, I just make some comments on the key issues that you have raised, Chair, and then I'll go around the table to ask the specialists to respond to some specifics, and then I'll round up after that.
Immediately after you have given the response, I'll open up the floor for the members to, debate on the matter. What will happen is that you'll speak, and then we'll give the representative of the department an opportunity to speak. Thank you.
Okay. So, allow me then to make a few comments. I just want to get the assistance of the team to make some specifics, and then I'll finish up before we hand over to the department. Firstly, Chair, we want to concede that there are technicalities that have to be attended to, and we apologize for that, and we will deal with that. And we also note the reference to the president of the country, and take that seriously as well, in terms of showing political bias. I think that is an omission on our side. Chair, the question of the relationship of the departments that I have raised must not be misunderstood. I have said that the Council enjoys very good relationships, working relationships with the DBE, which is the National Department of Education, and the 9 provincial departments. There is no problem. In fact, we have bilaterals with the departments quite often on a range of issues. The question of the challenges, there are just 2 challenges. One challenge is with the National Department of Education, where the funding that comes for the CBTD doesn't come timeously. And the department has taken pains to explain to us why they have that difficulty, which we note. But we want that to be changed to another way of funding of SAIDs, so that at the beginning of the financial year, we have the funding through the work that we have to do for SAIDs. That is the difficulty, the challenge, which the department concedes, minister accepts it. So there has to be some kind of changing. And they are tied up with the funders, and the department has given us funds via the funders. And there is a whole process for that. The second difficulty is related to the provincial departments. Now, the national department does not offer programs for teacher development. If it does, it will be on some special project. Generally, they don't. It is the 9 provincial departments of education that identify needs for teacher development. And they get providers on their behalf, or sometimes themselves, they provide. The department officials go around engaging teachers with professional development programs. What I have said is that those programs are not coming to SAIDs in the numbers that they should be coming. SAIDs is not providing professional development programs. That is not its mandate. Its mandate is to be a referee, to watch over what goes on in the name of professional development progress. And if you play the role of a referee, it limits your activities. You cannot be doing things that providers are supposed to be doing. So that is the difficulty that we have overcome. We are engaging with the departments. I raised this with the forums where departments have been there. And the departments point out to us some difficulties in that prevent them from sending those programs in numbers which we are trying to overcome. But that is a challenge that must be overcome quickly. And we will talk to the departments. Now, when I say that we have a limited role to play for CBTD, our role, the Bella Act, the Basic Education Laws Amendment Act of 2011 states clearly that states must manage the CBTD system. So it is like an elaborate bookkeeping system that we have, where we quality assure the programs, we record what teachers are doing, and that is available all the time. And that is our role as far as CPTD is concerned. Now, if that role needs to be broadened, then it needs to be resourced, and the mandate needs to be widened. At the moment, that is SACE's mandate. But SACE goes beyond that mandate. It encourages providers to come to us. We have workshops for providers. We meet with providers in the 9 provinces to encourage providers to develop programs that are more relevant to our teachers' needs. So those are the sort of comments that I want to make as starters. Quickly, I want to check with the team some of the specifics regarding finances, registration, ethics, vetting, and then I'll make some closing responses before we hand over. So let's start there with Mr. Polo, please.
Thank you, CEO. I hope I'll be able to cover them all, because I was trying to streamline all the questions on the two areas. I want to start with a question on vetting and screening and where the council is and what debate is based on the last communication that we had at the portfolio committee. Beginning of this year, we had, as the CEO was saying, a council workshop where we looked, I think we were tasked as the office, to verify and see organizations that actually do vetting and verification. And the two organizations that were on top of this was MIE and a company called Guardian. We looked at what they do and how it costs anything out. And we presented, because MIE specializes in particular in verification of qualifications, whereas Guardian specializes in the sexual offenders, your child protection register and the police clearance. When we looked at that and what it will take for educators to be done, I think the biggest task that we're taking now to the next council is whether, I think the president was saying, we are starting with the educators coming into the system, and how do we then begin to verify that educators are already on setting, because it's not only those that are coming into the system that are a threat to our learners, but those that are current and on there. So the work that has been done by council to work on this one, or to check on it and verify. I think we had a discussion with Mr. Rabutati that we will be going to HESCOM to say, between provinces and states, who actually does the first stage of vetting and verification. One of the key things that we're looking at and see how we work is because majority of educators, by the time they come to register with states, are already employed by the provinces. So we need them to review the strictness of that before educators are registered. Employed by provinces, they should come back to state register. That is when the proper vetting and verification will come. Because most of the time, in fact, provinces are expecting that states would have done. And states, by the time they come, as you're saying, they're already being on the employment. But that's something that we were discussing and taking to have come this particular week, so that we can find the synergy in working and doing this thing. I must say, one of the things council was looking at is the financial implication of doing this, because we were looking, doing for a per term, and it's taking us to about 2.1 million roughly to do verification of the whole, and the time frame that will take if we are to embark on a full scale of vetting. Because currently, remember that one of the things that we were looking at as well was to minimize our turnaround strategy on registering educators. Now, if we are to embark on a full scale of vetting educators, when we look at the time frame that takes to get on the to get response on the sexual offenders, to get sponsored child protection, it takes some another 3 months as given guidance by the Guardian and MIE. The quickest time is verification on qualification. It takes a maximum of 4 days to get it back. So another debate we have then handed over to council was to say, would council then reconsider how we do registration? Should we then give educators a year provisional registration whilst we do all these processes in place, then only afford them a full certificate after we've done processes? So these are some of the methods that we're busy to handling it and looking to see how do we then blanketly say we are doing the verification. The CEO will add on and help me on that one. The second question was around the educators on the system and on the database, but also we could also talk to what Nem was asking on saying how the ACP is formulated. I was after talking to the CFO previously. In the 4 years that I've been employed at SACE, maybe one of the things that makes it difficult to come out clearly as
Honorable Lovemore was saying on how and what we're doing in the templates that are given by Treasurer on how we should report our APP, it changes on a daily basis. So it minimizes maybe the information. Maybe we should look at having attachments that talk clearly to how the template is going. But that cleanup rate and how many educators are there in the country, what we are currently doing, we've been doing from end of last term and into this year, we have an MOU with Home Affairs where we are verifying on our database all educators that are that have passed on and that are active. The next database we're doing with the Department of Education where we are verifying those educators that are being employed on a daily basis. Now, the only crisis that comes is when the educators, the department, employ your temporary educators and they are every term, then they touch off that status because the educators need them to be re-employed again and then come back into the system. But we are working quite closely with the department for this term. We're hoping when you come back, we'll do that. And it also talks to two methods that we need to look at. Our registration, the way it's done, which is what Honorable Lamo was asking, we have two database registers. One is talking to full-time registered educators. That simply means everyone who qualifies to have a certificate. And the second one is your provisional registration. The provisional registration is quite bulky because it includes your foreign educators. It includes your provisional educators who are studying towards a qualification. It includes your underqualified educators who have an academic qualification, which council has taken a resolution to give them 5 years so that they can continue. Those that are studying towards BEd has a one-year registration status, which we do so that we can ensure that they finish their studies. So there's different types. Then you find all the different types of registration that you find in different schools, your Montessori's, your Waldorf's, your Christian schools, which all have different types of things, which are now, we said, they would fall under the five-year registration. So when you look at the provisional, it will then help. It comes then to the question that the Honourable was asking of saying, how do you determine or how do you see the 26,000 versus the 30,000 that you're looking at? If you look, we are saying 26,000 is the target that you're looking at, new full registration. So these will be educators who have not registered before. Then the other number, which is 35,000, roughly, will then be your uptick, which therefore means it will then be the educators that just come in because they are studying, to either come in to say we are still studying, so we give them another year, or those that are saying we are finished studying, therefore we are qualifying to move from provisional to a full registration. That is why when you look at our numbers, the way we look at when I first made the presentation, I said 2014 was one of the years where the first cohort of the BA was finishing. So we had quite a high number of those finishing their BS. So we had quite a stream. So when we finalize our numbers for end of the financial year, you'll see that there's an increase in the way. So when we look at the number for 20,000 for this current year, we're looking at the trend of most educators and advocates that we've done. Those that are even applying for the first time are not on the increase. But the people that are on the increase are those that are studying. And the fact that we've given the others who have academic qualification in 5 years, that then say our focus will be on the provisionally registered educators that we have. That's sort of the trend that we reach so that we can determine what is to happen for the next year. I think that those are mostly the questions of when it comes to registration. Should I go to ethics? Ethics questions. I think the first question, let me go to Honorable Boshoff I have to use the presentation on my phone in the system.
Can I interrupt you? I wanted you to specifically respond to the issues that were highlighted at the archive, especially on your presentation, the lack of relationship between yourself and the department. The APP that is not aligned to the strat plan and that does not, which is not a 5-year plan, because you are supposed to have a 5-year plan. And then also, other contradictions, the issues that are not reflected on the report. Don't respond to all these other questions because you're going to end up taking more time. Let's just get that and then we give the members an opportunity to interact because a proposal already has come up to say that we should not adopt this presentation. So just
speak to those items. Thank you, Chair. Let me give over back to the CEO and the CFO so that I don't deal with the situation as reported by the CEO.
Thank you, Chair. I think there is no no confusion here. When we submit the strategic plan, I submit the same time with the annual performance plan, which we call APP. So, but the strategic plan is a 5-year projection. That's why when you look on the financial projections, they go up to 2020. But when you come to the APP, which we are, where we're presenting, we're dealing with, is this year ahead, while you do have a copy of the strategic plan. We draw items from the strategic plan, which you see all the APP that are there, we draw them closer. Then we deal with the year ahead, so that we see our plan for this coming year, of which we'll deal too much on the coming year, although we'll say something about the 5-year projections. Like I've indicated, that we project that over the MTF will increase the levies by 50%. That we take up from the strategic plan, but we detail the current year in terms of we are presenting the APP. So again, when you look on the APP, I do realize that, yes, it is true, sometimes the details gets limited by the template given by Treasury, but when you turn it in, they cut you off to speak to. Which I think what I have gathered is that when we come for presentation, we will give more and unpack how we implement each one, because most of the questions are how do you unpack this, how do you unpack this? That's what I see. But really the presentations or the document, it's in good order here. It's only that every year when we do, we come with it and we detail the current financial year. While we know we are projecting over the long term, and we have to say something about the, over the MTS. Thanks.
I would like to give back to the department to comment on that.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think what we needed to do from the side of maybe the department around the working relations, that there might have been some misunderstandings how it was presented earlier around the roles, because clearly we do have the work skills plan that is always generated by provinces and submitted to the institution. For us, our understanding is that SACE has got a responsibility around endorsing of programs as such, and so that we should not confuse between the two as indicated. But we are happy as a department to work with SACE very closely in terms of really looking into the template, the reporting template, so that it does reflect on the indicators, what the indicators that we will be talking to. For instance, it's very clear that that template is limiting. You are able to get more information through the presentation, which does not reflect what is contained in the APP. I'm talking like if you go to the presentation on page 34, you see there that it is very clear about cohorts, the focus on the cohorts of people to be trained. Page 32. If you look at that page 32 of the presentation, that is 32 does speak to what is it that ought to happen, but it's not reflected in the APP. So it's difficult to measure because they're not clear stipulated indicators. But it's only true when there is a response that you are able to say, okay, this is what's happening. What I've also highlighted, which is also going to say that we need to work very closely between the department as well as SACE, into looking into the omissions of the APP. For instance, the around the validation of educators, so that you can say what is the process that we are having, you know, to validate. If we are saying the first year we'll be focusing on those educators that are entering into the system, we must be able to say so that we are able to report. Or if we say that the first year we'll be focusing maybe in these provinces, around the, but must be able to say that, so that they're able to be better according to what we are saying. And this goes very well with the question of the enforcement of submissions by provincial departments in terms of the programs. If SAFE says that they've worked out on that criteria on how provinces need to submit, let that also be reflected so that we would know that which province has not adhered to what has been agreed upon. So that we don't just simply speak on these issues, maybe here, without us having engaged with the provincial departments. So that we are able to, the department, DBE with provinces are able to comply with whatever directive or request that SAFE is bringing to ourselves. So that we are not found here as a department defending the statements that SAFE is making in here. But we think that we as the DBE were prepared to go and look into these the submission, I mean the state, the evils by the committee. Because it was also said that the committee needs to assist in terms of ensuring that the provinces are able to provide information on time. And the department is here. If that request would come to the department so that at the time to the committee, we are able to be assisting each other in that regard. This goes hand in hand with the whole question of how are we going to deal with the employment of undergraduate educators by provinces themselves. All those needs to be reflected so that we are able to respond to those adequately. I'm just making that proposal maybe for us to say, how can we work together to ensure proper alignment between the presentation and what is being said with the ATP itself, so that the presentation is able to speak directly to the ATP. Thank you very much. That is the request that I'm making.
Thank you, Mr. Kwajan. You know, I'm very perplexed by the fact that, or I don't know how to express it, the department is part of SAFE. Gojani's representation, and I don't really understand why did you leave it up to this point when you noticed that there were problems or issues to raise that do not really enable the portfolio committee to do its work appropriately, because I would suppose that the only any warning signal should have been checked and acted upon so that we don't come to this situation, so that we don't encounter this situation. I will open up for members to reflect on this matter. I have seen the hand of Honorable Boshoff, Honorable Barson, Honorable Boyshani, and Honorable Lovemore, in that order.
Thank you, Chair. I am going to check the CEO up on his offer of meeting with us again, and my spokesperson will be joining us, so thank you very much. We will discuss this offside. And then what is very disturbing is the fact that our primary school girls are falling pregnant and nobody, not even DBE, does anything about it. What about the statutory rape clause that should be adhered to? What are we going to do about that? And then I'd also like to know where the figures come from regarding pregnancies. If you have a look at a article that was published on the 12th of March. And Mpumalanga says 3,196 pregnant schoolgirls in 2014. Figures that the department gave me was 725. So where do these figures come from? And then he also, the Mr. Gerald Sambu, says they dismissed five educators due to sexual crimes.
So another was of,
this is in line with sexual
Yes. I, you remember I called make judicial order. When I said that, let's reflect on the issues that cast aspersion on the report and not get a full response on all these other matters.
Madam Chair, with due respect, this is a serious matter because it's our children that are being put on the line, and we need to have answers with regard to the vetting of teachers, the pregnancies of our learners, and so forth.
I'm not saying that you are wrong. What I'm simply asking is that let's first entertain that part that has been proposed for Fish to respond to. For instance, your fellow colleague, Honorable Lovemore, has raised a proposal saying that there's a need for us to reject
the presentation.
It becomes pointless for us to deal with all those issues when we are going to have another session if the meeting finally agrees to that proposal to deal with this thing.
So again, the suggestion right under the table.
Get all those members that raise their hands to respond. Honorable Basson, it was yourself.
I agree that if the strike is revisited, it boils down to the APP, because the APP is from the strike. So if the main document is having some faults, let us refer it as a whole presentation. I propose some. After this, I will make a proposal. You know, last year, I'm reminded by CFO presentation, and he said that the providers are in place or something. There was a question, and I asked the question to your presentation. Most of the providers is 46-50. From Gauteng. Did you correct that? Because even in my province, you know, as if in our provinces we will not have people, have you consulted the district to supply you with the provider? Because I'm concerned of using people, I even said on that will come for the period while the plane is waiting for the person, tell me to what I'm in hurry because my plane is leaving. We are from the rural area where I'm the plane is one for a day. And these providers that are from up there, they don't do justice for our people. Have you corrected that? With all those MIEs and guardian providers, I'm sure they are also from Gauteng. The template given by Treasurer, yes, it is good for Treasurer. But for us, people who have to interrogate your deliberations on your APP, it's really too short, as you have said, man. It's limiting the information in so much that your information, when received by us, is not clear. That is why. It is clear when talking to it, as the CEO was talking, some points that were on my questions came from his mouth. But looking at the document, for any person on the figure down will be confused on what is going on there. That I also recommend Chairperson that says should and H Department of Education. Irrespective of the delays of payments or subsidy for CPD, they should, because if the department knows about safe plans, then we'll be able to fund them as soon as possible before the damages. Let us try to minimize any negative our plans and programs by consulting each other.
Honorable Mponchani.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, I thank the presenter for honoring up that there was a little bit of presence that was really his head in the forward. Thank you very much for that. Now, having said that, Chair, you are asking us to pronounce on the proposal. Now, Chair, perhaps to support what I'm going to say, you know, when we stand up during the budget debate, we'll be debating the Department of Basic Education with all its entities. So therefore, accountability must be very clear. Because once the lines of accountability are blurred, then we've got a problem. We have a problem right now in our system where accountability in all levels of the system is very weak. So we can't allow the situation to continue. Therefore, having heard what the department is saying and what SAFE is saying, perhaps unconsciously, I don't think it's deliberate, that the two ends or the many heads did not really come together and have a fair comp in what they are presenting now. So I really support, Chair, the proposal that for today, let us not endorse what is being given to us. I'm not saying the presentation, documentation and everything. Let the two bodies go and meet, and then we propose other date where they had an opportunity to put a fine call into the document. I thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I'm afraid that reading these documents make one angry. It really does. This is a professional council. I'm sorry, it does. This is the professional council for teachers. We expect teachers to be professional, and the council, if it is reflected in these documents, it certainly not is not such. I really lay a lot of the trying to find a good word for blame, the responsibility at the law of the Department of Basic Education, because partial funding comes from the Department of Basic Education. And just as the Department of Basic Education gives conditional grants to provinces and withdraws that money if the provinces are not operating, or sits in and does the job for them, so it should be exercising the same level of oversight over SAFE. SAFE is not doing the function that they should be. It should be doing. So I would really suggest you actually look at a conditional grant and some higher level of intervention in SOFA. By the template argument, everybody has to use the same template, and there are some excellent annual performance plans and staff plans. Nothing about the template that is stopping you from giving information. I'm afraid that the strategic plan tells us nothing, too. It is a one-year plan. Where is it not a one-year plan? There are SOFA interventions without any numbers, without any years, etc. It is a really, really poor plan, of which the people compiled it and presented it today to be ashamed, quite frankly. I want to go back to my question about initial teacher education. Is SAFE, as it says in the plan, as I read it in the plan, is SAFE undertaking responsibility, taking on responsibility, is so going to be accredited as the council responsible for quality assuring the initial teacher education of our teachers in this country? Again, I did ask that question, but it wasn't answered. Thank you, Chair.
View is that we must take back the report and ask the department to really take full responsibility of mandate to lead and guide the entities in the same spirit that you have assisted other entities like ELRC and Women. We want to see the same. The state should not be treated differently. That is the reason why we have you there, Mr. Gojani, is to make sure that you don't have to complain that people are beaten, so we can't get hold of them. So you are always on the doorstep, you are always there to assist and comfort with faith to make sure that they comply. On that note, members, I would like to rule that that report is not accepted. All the issues that have been raised, I think also that you have acknowledged some of the mistakes, and I think that you know, if you fall, you don't count how many balls you have had. You just get happy that you are able to stand up. And I think this one is a mild fall. It's better to fall the first time than the last time. So, at a portfolio committee, we will link up with yourself on the relevant day where we can have a meeting, that it should be sooner because our budget vote debate is going to be the 6th of May, so we would appreciate if we can expedite this process much more quickly so that we stick to the deadlines that have been set by programming committee, and do not unnecessarily delay other entities or other players within our portfolio. We know that you have got other responsibilities, but I think this one is one of your core and mandatory responsibilities. On that note, I think we must go back and do the planning for Pari and take into consideration all the issues that have been raised by members, and then we'll communicate. And we hope that when you come back, you will give us a good report that you have always given us over the past year. Thank you. Members, initially I have indicated that we are going to be dealing with the minutes, of which the correspondence has been given to all the members of the portfolio committee. All the minutes were delivered to your emails, and the physical copies to your pigeon holes for your access. And I would suppose you are aware that I think it's about 2 meetings ago that we agreed that we must really adopt our minutes. So the time has arrived for us to deal with this meeting. If there are copies, if there are copies at the back, we'll ask you to distribute to all the members so that they are able to go through them. We are going to be dealing with 4 sets of minutes. The first one is for the 19th of November. The second one, yes, since you are released, you can. Thank you very much. The 24th of February, the 3rd of March, and the 10th of March. Those are the 4 sets of minutes that we have. And then immediately after that, we will deal with the report. The first one will be the oversight report, so we will still distribute. And then with regard to the report, we have about 5 reports. The one on the oversight from the Northwest Province for 24th to 26th November. The ANA results released for the 4th of December last year. standardization meeting, 25 December, NLP results, 5 January 2015, oversight report to KZN, 3 to 6 February 2015, annual national teaching award, 7th March. I will therefore give members an opportunity to quickly go through the documents, starting with the minutes, and then we are going to go page by page.
Yeah, you talk about January. We don't seem to have January yet.
Let's go to the minutes first. I was just highlighting everything, but the minutes, we start with the one for November.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. Can we quickly go through the minutes?
November. Please to record what I always put in an apology. But would the secretary make a correction there?
Just a minute, let's hear Honorable Mugumi.
Chairperson, these minutes were provided aid, I think, 2 or 3 times just read to us. So I will request, because I don't know whether other members know to. I have read all the minutes. I know where the correction should be. But we don't read them now. We just have this 19. Where should be the correction? And the person said, and then we pass. It will not take time reading the minutes. That's my submission.
Okay. And I was focusing with Mr. Brown here that it should take 15 minutes in all to deal with everything, the whole item, including the report. So it was just a checklist, because I can't assume that all of you have read, because you might have forgotten what you were, because this is a new set. You have not maybe recorded your corrections on this one. Let's go to the ones of the 19th of November. Page 1. I think it's attendance. Page 2. If you look at this set of minutes, we are adopting the minutes again. It's a similar minutes. I think it's the one that we had at the Max building where we were adopting. And then it records all the minutes that we have detailed, we have dealt with. Members, are you satisfied that we should go leave this one? Can we have a move for the adoption? Honorable Lovemore, seconded by Honorable Basso. The one of the 24th of February. This minute, we'll go to page 1, the attendance. We were considering the second and third quarterly reports on this one, including the progress on ACD, post-provisioning norms, teacher profiling, learner and teacher support material. That's what we dealt with. Can we quickly go, Honorable Lovemore?
Chair, I'm indicated as present and absent. I think I was present, but I'm not 100% sure. Let me just be checked, please. Couldn't my diary over here.
Okay, we have noticed that. Mr. Brown will check the record, where the signature report. Page 2. The same. In page 3, Okay. Honorable Brown, check in terms of attendance. I think you must verify your records there. And on page 3, is there anything? Page 3. Page 4. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 6. Observations. Let's check the alignment of observations with the boot of the report. Honorable Rosso. Okay. Wait, page 7. It's page 8. There's no 7 there. I suspect that we have the same copies. Do you all have a page missing?
Yes.
It's duplication of 8. If you check. No. Let's see. Where are back? Do you all have 7? Okay, if you have 7, we are on P7. It seems as if some have P7. It was you and me. You don't have P7. Okay, let's put it aside. Let's deal with it. Do you have that has come in? Writing profile. Page 7. I think we need 2 extra copies for Honorable Kosha and Koda. Check the one from Boone. Bring 3. Bring 3. Page 8, if members find something after we have passed the page, they can still bring our attention to it. Page 8. Page 9, observation. I think also on page 8 we have observations. Members, can we move for the adoption? Move up for the adoption. Honorable Kosha. Honorable Kosha. The set of the head, March 2015. We are dealing with the policy quality assurance in general for education, Umalusi, and also the teaching, irregularities, learner transport, school governing board election. Page 1, we are going. Page 2, going. Page 3, any item. Page 4, Honorable Khoza. Okay. You are listening. Okay, he's back checking. Page 3. Page 4. Page 4. Page 5. Okay. Honorable Mponshani, page 5. Observations are there. Let's check the alignment. We are going to page 7. The observations again. Are they aligned to the body of the report? Page 8. Can you get a move for the adoption members? Let's voice our let's get a mover and a second. Honorable Lovemore, Honorable Khoza, second to her. Thanks much. Page 1, page 2, I think we were dealing with the action plan by the AG for 2013-14, the MPAT tool assessment.
Sir?
Welcome.
Yes, I'm sorry, sir. In fact, the first place, in attendance, page 1. You know, this committee always meshes with my attendance of the state security control authority. So I always send my apologies. I'm on that other side. So the secretary, if you can record that, I've corrected. Thank you, too.
An apology. I think it will be reflected so that he has the record. Page 4. Page 3. The observation on page 4. Page 4. Page 5. Observations, then. Let's check the alignment. Can we get a mover and second the Honorable Khoza, Honorable Basson? We are done with the minutes. And then we go to report.
Let me just ask a general question. In the minutes, ordinarily there are the comments raised by members or concerns. I can't fix now quite what they're called, but committee observations are, yes, committee observations are noted. And those are mostly the questions that we've asked. But nowhere are the answers minuted. The answers aren't minuted. The only place that I can find, and I'm please, I would like to find an official place. This is the Parliamentary Monitoring Group minutes. They minute the responses. But why does our committee not minute the department's responses or whatever is presenting to us? Because surely that's just an important part of the interaction and the meeting, is the responses and the questions. Thank you, Chair.
I think you are proper, and Ms. Aram will see to that it happens. Thank you, Honourable Lavlos. We are going to report the report for oversight to the Northwest Province in November. Let's see. Do you have all have it? Which one do you have on hand? Do you have all that? Because all it was only me. Can you bring me that? We are on Northwest. I hope all of you have it. The first page introduction. Second page delegation and meeting with the department. Those who attended, please pay attention and assist us with the corrections. Any omission, members? Page 2, page 3. Page 3. Page 4. Page 4. Page 5. This report also encompasses the visit to Limpopo, to the Northwest Room. We didn't go. Oh, I see it here on the table. So we all recall it, right? Members will recall it back. Observations, those who attended, check the alignment, recommendations. Observations are there as well. Members assist us. Recommendations as well on page 8. Challenges, page 9. is chair, and observation on the ship is page 11, recommendation. Members, check observations on page 12 and recommendations underneath. Page 12. Page 13. Page 14. Can you move for adoption? Honorable Khosa, the members that were there. Honorable Khosa, seconder. Who seconds the move? Let's agree that you choose the page. Is there any second? Honorable Mguni. Were you in sanitation? No, I have already agreed with the date of the report, so can still second.
If that is the case, my second next.
Thank you. We go to the ones on the release of the AMNA report results. Honorable Lovemore, Honorable Lovemore will rely more on you because the two members that were there are not around. Honorable Gina and Honorable Majed. You okay? Is it? For the other girls. But you're not reflected yet. Hey, you want the image? Honorable Lapa, could you please scan through and assist us with the content? Are you fine with page 1? And for those who have a copy of the ANA report, can you borrow Honorable Lovemore? Let's go to another one. Or she will get a copy. Let's go to the standardization meeting. Okay. Do we all have this copy of the minutes? The report of the standardization?
Yeah.
Okay, can we deal with it once the Honorable Lovemore is still getting a copy? Cindy, are you getting a copy for Anna? On standardization, it's 2 pages long. On standardization, I was there, Khosa, Guni, Lovemore, Mponchani, and the chairperson. Can you deal with this report on page 1, on standardization? We skipped the one on, and I will deal with it later. Members, page 1. Those who are there. Are we fine with the standardization page 1?
Yes, sir.
page 2. What is your conclusion there on page 2? Can you get the mover, Honorable Mponshani? Second, Honorable Mguni?
Second, the reposition.
Thank you. The party father, we are going to the next one on the LSC. All of us were there. Can we deal with page 1? It was the result on the National Synthetic stage. Page 1, are we fine?
Yes.
So, that's correct. They are both reflected there. Yes, for me it's cheap cross, but let's go to the content. Honorable members, are we signed with the content, the top charting of it?
This one, yes.
Yes, okay. Sure. Page 1, we are going. Page 2. Page 3.
Yes.
Honorable Bazon is proposing the adoption. Honorable Bonsham has submitted and adopted at the minute. And then we go to the one on KwaZulu-Natal. It's a thick document. Page 1. If you can remember it again, Honorable Brown. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. We rely mostly on those who are there. Page 3, Honorable Bashum, you are there. Page 4. Page 5. Oh, it's at the top there. The number. Page 5. Observations. Check alignment. Page 6. Page 7. Observations and recommendations. Page 7, page 8, page 8, page 9, recommendations under observation. Let's check the alignment of issues. Page 10. Also there we have observations.
On page 5, no, page 6 rather, 3.82, 3.3.2, repetition of those words. Thank you.
recommendations on page 34. Page 35 is the overall recommendations. Can we have a move over that adoption, Honorable
Chair, before you move?
Okay, you are looking at?
On page 17,
okay.
4.2.3. Just to check whether that's full, because you know, it already finished with schools falling under Mukanyabute. We have got now on page 16, we've started with Umzinyathi district. Now you come to page 17, 4.2, these two schools, Mukanyabute, okay? I doubt that that school is under Mukanyabute. Let's check. That's
no text. I think also you must correct the same name of the MEC. It's not Ngonyan. It's Ngonyan.
Yes, yes, yes.
On 4.2. 4.2.2. Name. E-N-I-E-H. Sorry? Where? Okay. Can you press that? Press that.
Just out of record, John. I have proposed to that the minister be adopted. So my question is just now, just a general question. How soon should we make a follow-up on the challenges, more special on the challenges that we have identified in the
place? I think there is a parliamentary procedure or processing this report. Like, as we are adopting the report, they are going to be given to the ATC, and it might not come to the debate, it might not be debated, but all these items will be factored so the speakers will be at the end of the day and then go to the executive for actionalization. So that's the process. Isn't it so, Mr.
Yes, sir,
I think you have answered the question well. However, there are debates at the moment whether mechanisms should be found to expedite the process of referring recommendations to the department.
Maybe to see like in the statements that you give or the motions for debate, you can also raise some of the points, like when the points that you have identified during the oversight decision. So we must use it effectively, like after adopting the report. We must pick up issues that could go there for oversight and then bring the issues to Parliament, draw attention of Parliament to those items through our own debate, like we always move for debates to happen in the House. We had already adopted the report. They have already seconded it. Honorable Bashon moves for the adoption. Honorable Okonshan has supported. And then the report is adopted. Let's agree that we proceed with the last report. No, it's the national. Yes, we are left with only two pages. The National Teaching Awards report. Members who were there can also help. Honorable Kosa. Members, can you go through the report? Honorable Kosa, and Honorable Mbuli. I'm just one of the National Teaching Awards. Page one. We are dealing with the report on the teaching awards that was held in Pretoria. Can we get the assistance from the members who attended? No, I'm not going to read it. I can't participate because I'm sharing. So, because both of you were there, we rely on you to check whether it's correctly reflected. Both of you colleagues.
Okay, thank
you. Let us share it. This one. Let's go to the ANA report, and then while they are still composing themselves. Okay. Page 2. Page 3. Okay, can we move for the adoption and the second
amendment?
Honorable Mbuli. I move for the adoption of this. Any second amendment? Honorable Kosa.
I'm seconding.
The report is adopted. We go to the ANA results. Honorable Labo. Is the report reflective of what transpired?
Yes, sir, it's a very good report. Interesting, it looks very different from the other reports. It looks like a different research wrote it. Maybe it's not one of Dr. Beloy. Anyway, but Chair, on the first page, in paragraph 2, the background, the second paragraph, it says the Ministry of Education. That is just the basic education. It's a very positive report. So a lot of negative stuff has actually been left out. But, having said that, I'm quite happy to accept it as a very good reflection of the events.
Oh, okay, so can we move for the adoption, members? You have already moved. Who seconded that? The adoption of this report on ANA. Honorable Mpunchani is seconding. Honorable Kosa and Honorable Mguri, you are in the forest. The others have apologized. I'm sure you are aware that Chaplain is attending classes at risk. I would suppose that as we talk about basic education, we also take time as members to empower ourselves further. Take new efforts to, diversify your academic specialization, especially that parent is giving you a subsidy. You can do any course that will make you independent after you leave, or even when you come back to parliament, will be better resource. So the chairperson is leading by example. So let's go there. I know that UNISA has opened to registration, those who want to go and register. Members, I think, age, lifelong learning. It doesn't matter. Members, let me thank you for being so polite, well-behaved, and, attentive, and, engaging. It's a pity we had to return the report, the presentation of faith, but I think that people will understand that it's for a better cause. that we had to return this. It was not a spiteful exercise. Let's go back to go back and read further, study our report and check where are the loopholes, and then maybe we can also assist, because engagement doesn't end here. We can still engage with the space outside of that. Honorable members, Mr. Brown will communicate to us about the date, but I think like we highlighted today, it must be very soon that he gives us the date, possibly next week. Mm-hmm. We will have to see whether he can slot the first presentation under one of the presentations that are coming next week. I know that you are going to be dealing with Kumbali Ishaga. Is it going to be the only item? There are two items there. If it goes to a push, I think we must make sure that we have it underneath and then do an overtime for that day, although it's not grateful. So, members, the meeting is adjourned. Please check your program of action to understand what I'm going to do with for the rest of the chat.